Northwestern football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as the number 17 Northwestern Wildcats host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. And this hour is being brought to you by Mega Pros. Repair, remodel, renovate, megapros.com. I'm Lawrence Holmes. Let's talk with Joe Madden.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
I'm here about the business. Ain't that right, Joe?
Joe Madden.
He's got that flair about him. When his name's announced, the place erupts all the time, but he's always in the middle of something good.
Manager for the Chicago Cubs.
And then Cliff and Shelley, the Penguins. I mean, all this stuff, the Penguins, like, pooped all over. They poop every 15 minutes, apparently. That's what Penguins do. All over the brand-new rug on the other side. That's what's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, hey, I learned a lot from watching Joe.
Joe Madden with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
Okay, nice.
Every Tuesday at noon, we talk with the manager of the Chicago Cubs, Joe Madden. Do I sound funny? I feel like I sound a little tinny. All right. I guess no, we're good. All right. So we talk with Joe Madden every Tuesday at noon, and we are glad that he is here with us as we broadcast from Gallagher Way. I feel like the place that I'm at, I'm like right on the other side of where Joe's office is here at Wrigley Field, and now the manager of the Cubs joins me here on The Score. What's up, Joe?
Less and less tinny by the moment.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know how important it is. You love music. I'm always trying to be in good sound if I can.
Got some new albums in that I want to put in the Flamingo Room, and one is the Hawley's Greatest Hits. Gosh, like these 20 songs that these guys put out, I don't think they really are recognized as highly as they should be. It was great stuff.
Well, I actually think that one of the questions that we pulled out of the box today is a little bit about music, so I'm looking forward to asking you that question a little bit later on in our conversation. As we usually do at the end, we have a little fun with Joe, and Joe has a little bit of fun with us. I'd love to know, it was a rough road trip. What can you share, first of all, about how Kyle Hendricks is doing?
Just that he's not awful. I don't anticipate it to be a really elongated stay. It's just that he just felt something there in his shoulder, and we had to back off of it for a while. I really do believe, had this been later in the year, I mean like in September, we probably would have kept him going and managed it differently. But for right now, with so much time left, it's wise, we think, just to back off and let it get 100% well. So it's one of those temporary inconvenience things, but the permanent improvement stuff. So I was all on board with it. Listen, this guy is so good. And all I asked him to be was honest. Just to be honest with us and me. And I felt that he was. I let him go out for that last inning. And at that point, he kind of realized he needed to do this. So all the boxes were checked, and we'll get him back relatively soon.
How long does it take for a manager to gain the trust of the players when it comes to what they're feeling in their bodies?
Well, it's just that's a good question. I think I don't know. I want to believe that since I've been here, I've had a pretty good relationship with the guys. I think normally it's just a manager in general. When you start out as a manager, there's just that time element. I mean, it's your first gig. As players get to know you and you get to know them, there might be a little bit longer in the beginning. I think I'm going back to my Devil Ray days. And, by the third year there, I really felt like we had established it, but that was my first regular gig as a full-time manager. So I think as you move it along, and if you've had any success, players view it differently. And so I think with my guys, the guys here, we've had a pretty good relationship from Jump Street. I have direct conversations with every one of them, and it's pretty outstanding, and it makes my job a lot easier.
What's the scouting report that you hear from everyone about Adber Alize?
Great name.
He's really I'm good. Having problems with it.
Hey, listen, I don't even want to go there. he's doing really well. He's got a plus fastball with an outstanding curveball. Good command, really good command for a young man. Very confident. And I'm just going off video. I've never seen the guy throw in person. Every spring training, he's been unable to pitch, and I've not been able to see it. I've just heard about it. So I was watching video recently, and it's all there. It's really pretty spectacular. But beyond that, and I think I've talked to you guys about this before, if you had a chance to sit down and visit with him like I have, just conversationally in spring training, wow, really mature for his age, speaks well, really expresses himself well. I get a total team guy, calm demeanor, which I liked also. So all the ingredients plus a great arm, it's all there. It's a pretty complete package.
What advice do you give young pitchers when they make that jump to the next level?
To pretty much try not to do anything differently. Sometimes great is the enemy of good, and you try to do even better. And at that point, the curveball's in the dirt all the time. And the fastball is 98 as opposed to 95, 96, but it's not located. Just go out there and pitch like you had. I encourage them to take their AAA game here and to keep a real simple approach, especially the first couple times out. We have all kinds of intel. I'll let your catcher guide you through that. Take some nuggets prior to the game, but don't try to alter your ways just based on this one game versus this team. I always like when the pitcher pitches to his strengths first and let the hitter adjust to him. Sometimes strength versus strength occurs, and you just got to go with it and make a better pitch. But I like that method. Just keep it simple. Follow your catcher's lead and don't overthink it. And just try to bring that same game you've been playing in AAA to the big leagues.
Cubs manager Joe Maddon joining me here on The Score. Kyle Hendricks was actually really complimentary to Wilson Contreras in that regard, as far as him calling the game. And when it comes to turning your young pitchers or any pitching staff over to a catcher, what types of steps has Wilson made in his maturation as a game caller?
Well, you know, it's simple but complicated. Since I've been here, it really starts with the pitching coaches, and then even more so Mike Borzello. Borz really pours through information. I had heard about him before I'd gotten here, and I was kind of skeptical because there was so much platitudes placed upon the guy. And how could he do all that stuff? Then I watch his prep, and I watch what he does during the game, and it's its own method. It's his own routine, but I really believe it's unique to us. I think other teams are trying to copy it now. Just the way he breaks things down and simplifies the game plan in conjunction with the pitching coach. Tommy Hotovy has been working with Boris for the last couple of years behind the scenes, and all of a sudden they're able to take it out to the field together. So it starts right there. And then beyond that, Wilson, when the day I met him in spring training a couple of years ago, really we tried to get him involved with the more veteran pitchers at that time because we knew he was going to be up. And he really poured himself into this, trying to understand the game better and understanding data and being a video studier also. So this a lot of it goes to Boris and Tommy, and then the majority of it does go to the player himself and Wilson. So I watch it, and I watch the interaction. And this doesn't happen just before the game, which it does. During the game, there's always little micro meetings going on in between innings. So it's kind of a complimentary thing where everybody's working together, and Wilson definitely has put in the time to get to this point.
Considering the injury to Kyle, how much did you put into the idea of maybe putting Tyler Chatwood into the rotation, or has his value in the bullpen proven to be too valuable?
Well, we're not ready to announce what we're going to do yet, but he's definitely in the running, absolutely, and he has made himself a lot more valuable out of the pen there compared to what the problems he had last year. And moving forward, I think this guy's going to be a starter again. Right. The way I've been using him out of the pen has been restricted only because he provides length, and that's valuable. Extra innings, we play a lot of close games, so you can't really utilize some people. You're always holding somebody back, and he gets held back sometimes, whereas you'd like to pop him in there if you had more length at the end. So he's done great. He's done great. He's in consideration, absolutely. And I know in his mind's eye, and actually he wants to become a starter again, and I see that being definitely a possibility.
Talking with Joe Maddon here on The Score, the Cubs and the White Sox will play two games over the next couple of days here at Wrigley Field. Out west, is it fair at this point to call Cubs-Dodgers a rivalry?
It's pretty solid. I'm feeling it. You know, I felt it, and like I said, you can't contrive rivalries. They have to organically grow. Obviously, location could generate, and it does, with the White Sox and the Cubs. Of course, I felt it with the Angels and the Dodgers somewhat. did not feel it with the Rays and Miami, which they were trying to always get that done, the Mets and the Yankees, of course. So this thing, in spite of the distance, I still think the fact that we're so evenly balanced and we've played a lot of meaningful games over the last several years, and it's, gosh, I don't even know as the actual one-loss record in their favor right now. It's been so close. Those games in L.A. we just went through, my God, even after the last one, that ball falls, we win that game. It's a split. We win the season series. But the guy makes a great play. It's like that all the time. I love it. Absolutely love it. I grew up an Angel, so I've had this innate dislike for the Dodgers for a long time, which I love. I have a lot of respect for them. Their uniforms are always whiter, which I hate it too. But there's a lot going on there, and I love it.
Well, let me take a quick departure then. What's your favorite uniform of all time? Let's do it two ways. The one that you've worn, which was your favorite, and your favorite that you've ever seen.
Well, I mean, again, I'm going to be a little bit biased. I know the Cubs iconic, but the first Angel uniform I wore, when I see photographs of that, the big block letters with the Angels with the A on the hat with the halo, and I even really did dig the halos on the hat. The first jacket, the warm-up jacket that we wore, had the state of California with the star plopped down in the Anaheim area. That was the California Angels, which I still wish they had. They would call themselves. I know Artie loves the Los Angeles Angels component just for purely recognizability. People know where that is over Anaheim. But that uniform, I don't know, it's like Hazelton High and Lafayette College. I mean, that's the first one I wore. So I think I'm always going to go back to that. I mean, there's iconic uniforms like the Cubs, the Cardinals. Love the old Pirates. I used to like the sleeveless ones, too, until I actually wore them with the Rays and didn't like them after that. But I do like simple. I like simple unigrams. I don't like anything complicated. I think the more simple the uniform, the better it plays for a long period of time. So, yeah, I think the Angels, because I wore it first, love the new. I love wearing the Cubs. I think it's fabulous. But there's been a lot of great. I've never liked the Diamondback uniforms. I think the Brewers have missed the mark. There's a lot of clubs out there that really could have done a lot better. And sometimes their first one was the best one, and they screw it up by trying to bring it up to date.
Yeah, I like the old, like the 80s version of the Brewers uniform with the MB in it, in the glove. Like I think that's a pretty sharp uniform. You said you didn't like the sleeveless ones once you wore them. What didn't you like about them?
It didn't look as good. I mean, you know, like Ted Kozinski with no T-shirt on. My God, how could you not love that with the Cincinnati Reds? And then with the Pirates, I liked them with the Pirates when I saw them. But when you actually wear them, they're kind of, they're not as, you know, they're not all of that once you put them on. I do like the best would be the pullover with the pants that pull up without the belts. There was a time I thought that I prefer button down with belts, but then after you've had a chance to wear both, I think the jammies are better and the material's really light. So I'd like to see us get back into that a little bit too. I think those uniforms actually are more comfortable.
Yeah, and the Pirates yellow pullover, and they've been bringing it back a little bit. I really love that. Like, I mean, it looks good on a guy like Josh Bell because the guy is just yoked up, but that's a good-looking uniform with a great cap.
Yeah, I mean, that's the stuff that I really like. I like the old Cubs stuff, too, that they're like the light powder blue Cub uniforms from back in the day, the alternative Chicago's on them. I think those are fantastic. I think a lot of the old Cubs stuff is outstanding also.
Your team's been really good at Wrigley Field, has struggled a little bit on the road. Is there anything to take from why the struggles on the road?
I really wish I could give you a solid answer. I don't. I know we've played a lot of good teams on the road. We've faced a lot of good pitching on the road. If there's anything, the commonality might be that. But the work's the same, the prep's the same. You know, our guys definitely aren't intimidated by playing in different venues. We love playing at Dodger Stadium. Colorado's kind of difficult. We lost that first game 6-5. We were close to like having a great road trip, and that's just and that's just the way this thing works. And that's why you play 162. We've been facing, I think, you'd have to look at the pitchers, but it seems to me a lot of good pitching and pitching on the road. And if there's one way for us to get hot, and I think I've kind of concluded, we have to continue playing the same game. I mean, pitching well like we have and catching the ball, but we have to get hot offensively. We have to win some games, 7-6, 6-5s. We've got on those days that the pitching can't really hold it down. If you look at it, I think we're third overall pitching in the National League. think right around there with the starters, and then the relievers might be fifth or sixth. Our starters have thrown the most innings, and the relievers have thrown among the least. Offensively, our numbers play out pretty nicely, but we have, like I said, we've been facing a lot of good pitching. We have to conquer these pitchers that we're facing and really become more offensive moving down the line. That's what I think is going to be the key to our success moving forward.
Yu Darvish has been pretty good in his last four starts. Like, you're starting to see all that electric Nintendo stuff that he throws. He's lowered his ERA almost a full run. How is it coming together for him?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of extraneous stuff that it's hard to evaluate. A lot of it's just the fact that, like I've said it before, he's become more comfortable here. And with that, his confidence is soaring. And with that, you're seeing better command. That's where it begins. Everybody wants to hear about mechanics and adjustments and all this finger pressure on the ball, whatever. I think it's something internal. And now, all of a sudden, he's really feeling pretty good about himself here in Chicago with several more years left to go. And I think you're going to see this, and it's going to continue to get better with good health because he is that good. His stuff is that good. What we had seen last year or so, there was a lot of different reasons why not. Among the most prevalent reasons, the fact that he was not feeling good, his arm wasn't well. But then he was the kind of guy for me that needs to settle in and understand his environment and surroundings. And once he does, then you're going to see the best part of him. And that's what's going on right now. He's overcome two hurdles this year, pitching against Jake at home and then pitching at Dodger Stadium, and he's done them both really well. So I'm really excited and eager about what this guy's going to do for the rest of the season and in the years to come.
I know that you've got the scouting reports ready for this series against the White Sox, that you know what they look like from an X's and O's standpoint. I'm curious on how much you've paid attention to what's been happening with them on the South Side this year, and that they're starting to get some players, some everyday players have got some personality, and they look like they're moving in the right direction. Well, what have you learned from watching them or paying attention to them?
Well, no doubt. I mean, but you knew that was going to happen. They've made a lot of great acquisitions over the last couple of years. A lot of young players, hungry young players, that are starting to figure things out at a major league level. Ricky does a wonderful job as a manager there too, and I know he's an X's and O's kind of guy. And fundamentally, I think they've gotten better too, but it's always about pitching. Also, Giolito is really starting to figure it out. The guy Nova today has given us problems in the past. When he's with Pittsburgh, we got to really conquer him too. But I think more than anything, it's just coming together. I mean, you get that many good young players. Moncada, I actually scouted him when he was a free agent. That was before my first year with the Cubs. I went and saw him in St. Petersburg in a little workout situation. And this kid is he's very strong. He's got all kinds of ability. Anderson's starting to really find his way too. And you could go on and on. Abreu at first base, I've appreciated his hitting for a long time. So they're good. They're good. And I've gotten to know Mr. Reinsdorf over the last couple of years during the winter meetings. I had chats with him. And great guy. So I'm really happy for their success. I mean that sincerely, and they become much more formidable.
Yeah, and Aloy had said that it was going to be a little bit weird for him to, because he thought that he would be, you know, be a Cub playing at Wrigley Field, and now you have the opportunity to see him as a White Sox. That kid only threw about 50 games or so. Looks to be a pretty special kid.
Oh, he is. We knew that. That was never in doubt. If you get a chance to speak with him, really a bright young man and engages well. He engages in conversation really openly. I'd use the word gregarious to describe him. I really enjoyed those couple moments I had with him. The biggest thing that I saw was just that his arm would be well and that he could throw from left field consistently, and I think that's gotten better and I think that's become more in order. His swing itself is very powerful, very powerful. It fits today's game. And he could hit it out anywhere on the ballpark. He loves to play. He's got the bright smile. Like I said, he's a gregarious young man. So he's gonna do the White Sox well for many years to come. And I really had a wonderful time getting to know him early on.
The Joe Madden Show is presented by Magellan Corporation. All right, Joe, we have a box that has a bunch of questions from fans of the Cubs and fans of yours that they want you to hear. So here's one of the questions. What's your favorite song of all time? I told you we were going to talk music. And can you sing it?
Wow. Favorite song? That's a hard question, isn't it? favorite song of all time. Well, it just depends on the era. I mean, I think we're all more visceral when we begin, just the sound of it all. But can't get no